Very quickly, the emphasis of last week's message, and that is, you cannot have right thinking unless you have right doctrine. The world and religion says that you can think on your own. The Bible says you cannot afford to think on your own. You have to think according to how God thinks. You have to follow on the basis of the doctrine that He has provided to us, revealed to us in His precious Word, and we think from His doctrine. We think from His revelation. We don't think outside of His revelation. If we do, we end up like the Judaizers. The Judaizers were thinking outside the box, so to speak. They had decided on their own that salvation was not just in Christ alone, but salvation involved obeying the law, the Mosaic law. By fulfilling and going through with the rites of circumcision and following the rites and ceremonies that were laid out, and if you did these, then you were truly saved. The only problem is, it's not biblical. It's not right. The law was never intended to save. And we're going to be looking at various scriptures this morning that will show that, because that's what the Apostle Paul is going to get into with the Galatian church. He's going to saturate them with doctrine. He is going to share with them what he shared with them before and what they've deviated from. Now, this is so important, folks. How do you go after error in the church? You go after it with sound doctrine. You give people that are in error the truth. You don't give people an error, all right, this is your error and this is where you're headed. You got to give them the truth. They've got to see where they came from. You've got to take them back to the place where they were once at. If you don't, then it doesn't matter what you tell them. And so Paul here goes after these Galatians with right doctrine. He takes them through the truth that he shared with them when he first came and shows them their thinking is wrong and God is right. And so if we're going to come back to truth, you've got to have the truth. So many times I think pastors fail to realize this. Preachers and evangelists, they think that somehow we're going to reach the kids by dressing like them and acting like them and talking like them. I am fed up to hear with youth pastors that I meet out here at the ball program that have to come up and act like the teenagers, that have to dress like them, that have to talk like the culture of the teenagers. It is amazing to me that they never reach them with that method. All they do is bring the church to where the culture is. They never bring the team to Christ. And that's what we're about. We're about pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, not trying to get down where the culture is and being like the culture. And Paul is not going to go down and try to be like them. He wants them to come back to Christ and come back to the truth. And that's what he gives to them. Let's read these verses here, beginning at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless your word this morning. There are so many wonderful truths that are contained in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we'll miss them if we're thinking about the activities of the afternoon. We're thinking about the person next to us, or we're thinking about our calendar of the week, or we're thinking about what we're going to do this summer, Lord, forgive us of the sin of letting our minds daydream when we ought to be focusing on Thee. We pray, Father, that You would give us ears to hear, and that by our wills we would determine to listen to Your Word this morning, and then take the precious Word that's given and apply it to our hearts and lives. We pray for the Holy Spirit's work in this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul is challenging some conventional thinking. These Judaizers were tracing their roots back to what individual? Abraham. As a matter of fact, there are three religious groups today that trace their roots back to Abraham. You have the Arab Muslims, who trace their roots all the way back to Abraham. The Quran mentions Abraham in numerous places. It mentions Ishmael, the son of Abraham, as the link to the father Abraham. So all the Muslims trace their roots back to Abraham. Then you have the Orthodox Jews that trace their roots all the way back to Abraham. This was the battle that Paul faced in his ministry as he proclaimed the gospel to the Jews. They thought, we're already linked to Abraham. We're all related to him by blood. But we come to the third group, and that is Christianity. We trace our roots back to Abraham not by blood, but by the spiritual tie of faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, that's the only one that counts. That is the only one that God recognizes in His Word. For He tells the Jew in Romans chapter 4 and in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 that if you are linking yourself to Abraham by blood, you'll not be in heaven. You must be linked to Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ alone. This was the issue of the Jew. This was the issue today of Orthodox Judaism. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they reject the message of salvation in Christ. And so what do? They trace themselves back to Abraham. We're God's people because we are related by blood to Abraham. But the New Testament says that will not cut it. That will not work. And so Paul here addresses the conventional thinking of the Jews. He addresses specifically the Galatian people that they have swallowed the lie of the Judaizers, and he wants to bring them back to the truth. For you see, folks, the gospel is different from any other message. The gospel is not the law, nor is the law the gospel. The gospel is a good news account from God's Word that tells men they are sinners in need of a Savior. The law reveals to us that we are sinners, but leaves us helpless in our sins. May we never forget that. These dear folks that try to go and they try to put us back under the law. Oh, we've got to go back under the Old Testament dietary laws. Oh, we've got to go back and we've got to follow all the rites and customs. They don't understand that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. We are free from the law. Oh, happy condition! Why would we want to go back under that which Christ fulfilled? You know why people want to go back? Because they don't want Christ. They want the form. The form of religion always makes people feel comfortable. The form of religion. People love the form. But folks, you can't go to heaven on the form. You have to go in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the issue here. That is the crux of the matter here. There was an old black preacher, he used to say this, we must get out of the status quo. One of his deacons asked him, Elder, what is the status quo? And the preacher replied, the status quo is Latin for the mess we're in. And the law won't deliver you from the status quo. The law says you're a sinner. The law says you violated God's law. But then the law has to cross its hands because it's helpless to take you out of that condition. All the law must do then is point you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to you as a sinner, and it points the sinner to Jesus Christ. That's all the law ever could do. There was never a Jew that ever fulfilled the law. There was never a person in all of Israel that could keep the law and could say, I'm on my way to heaven because I kept the law of God. The law was given to show the people of Israel that they were sinners and that they needed that perfect Lamb that was going to come. They needed the Messiah of Isaiah 53. That was the whole purpose of the law for Israel, was to point them to the Messiah. And you know what? They crucified him. They crucified him. But one of these days he's going to come back. And the nation of Israel is going to look to him whom they have pierced. And they're going to say, our Savior and our Redeemer. Isn't that a wonderful thing the Bible tells us is going to take place? All those that reject Messiah are going to die and go to hell. But those that turn to him and believe on him shall have everlasting life. The gospel tells us how to get out of the mess that we're in because of sin. When a man, woman, boy, or girl knows he or she is a sinner and that they are lost without God and without hope, there is no message that sounds so good to the guilty heart as the news that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. No other message that cheers the heart. The problem is most people don't believe they're sinners, and therefore it's not good news. The Judaizers wanted to take the good news out of the gospel. They wanted to take it out. They wanted to take the gospel and put it up on a higher rack. Isn't it interesting that when you go into Walmart, they put the food that kids like down on the lowest shelf? Isn't that interesting? When you go down through those sections there of the cereals, they don't have Metamucil down on the low counter. They don't have Mueslix, I guess that's what I was trying to say. It doesn't matter. It accomplishes the same thing. All right? They don't have Mueslix down on the low level. They've got it way up there at the top. They've got Fruit Loops. They've got Rice Krispies, Cheerios. They've got Tutti Frutti's. That's the brand we buy, the generic brand. Okay? They got the good kind, and then they've got our kind. All right, and that's the big old huge bag, you know, that you haul home and you eat it for a month type bag. They don't put that up on the top shelf where little Susie can't see it. They've got it right down here. Mommy, I want this one. Mommy, I want this one. They can see it. It's down on their eye level. Isn't it wonderful that God has put the gospel down where the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich all can receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? But the Judaizers said, oh, no! No, we want to put it up here on the higher act. You've got to meet all these standards of the law before you can be saved. And Paul says, no, that won't do. That won't do. Galatians, notice what you've received. You have taken that which God has put down here so that all men can come by faith to Jesus Christ, and now you put your own things onto it which God has not put. That, folks, is the heart of error. The heart of error is always putting truth out of reach. It's putting truth out of reach of God's people, putting truth out of reach to those who are lost. And we have a responsibility to keep truth where God put it. Not try to make it more difficult to understand. Not try to muddy the waters, but just keep it as simple as God has presented it in His Word. God couldn't have given it to us more simply. The problem is that big mouth people behind the pulpit confuse it and mess it all up and add things to the gospel or take away things from the gospel, and people don't get the truth that they need. What does the truth bring? It brings freedom. It brings freedom. And religion doesn't like freedom. Religion loves bondage. That's how you keep people. How am I going to keep people? I'm going to bring them into bondage. That's how I'm going to do it. How do you think Islam is growing like it's growing today? It's a religion of bondage. It's a religion of bondage. And people like that. That's the success of religion. Always has been, always will be. It's where the individual sacrifices their freedom and says, I will do what the church tells me to do. I will do what the Pope tells me to do. I will do what the mullah tells me to do. Just tell me what to do and I'll be happy. And sad to say, we've got the same thing in fundamentalism today. People don't want to think biblically from the Bible on their own. Just tell me what to do, preacher, and I'll do it. That's not the Berean spirit. That's not the spirit of the Bible. It's, all right, I want to get into the Word and find out if that's true or not. I want to see whether that's right or not. Paul encouraged that in his ministry. He didn't discourage that. And these Galatian people had rejected the truth. They had accepted a lie. And now Paul said, I'm going to give you the truth again. Let's get into it here. He goes right to the touchstone of the Judaizers, Abraham. Isn't it interesting how pointed the Bible can be? Paul didn't dance around the issue. Paul didn't talk about all of the peripherals that had to be dealt with. He went right to the heart of the Judaizers' belief. They were linking themselves to Abraham, not by faith, but by blood. And Paul says, I'm going to cut the umbilical cord here. I'm going to cut it. You don't have Abraham for a father. You're not his son unless you're a son by faith. Notice this, please. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The word children there is kuios in the Greek, and it's the word sons. The sons of Abraham. Who are the sons of Abraham? Well, Paul makes it very clear. Those that are sons by what? Faith. No mention of blood. No mention of ethnic ties. No mention of a son Ishmael that somehow these people, the Israelites, and by the way, the ecumenical movement is using this to appeal. Why are now we finding Orthodox Jews reaching across the table to the Islamic people? Like we've had up in New York City the last couple times, February, they had a huge meeting of the mullahs and the rabbis in New York City. You know what the joining point was? Can anyone tell me the name of the individual we just read here? Abraham. We're all brothers and sons of Abraham. Let's find our common ground. We're a son of Isaac, you're a son of Ishmael, but our father is the same. This is our joining point. That's always the joining point of religion. It's bypassing spiritual ties for blood ties. You'll find that to be true. Folks, this is so practical. That means we've got to keep things straight in our own lives, right? We've got to keep our family emphasis correct. If we're putting blood above Jesus, we've got a problem. We're no better than the Islamic faith. We're no better than the Orthodox Jewish faith because they do the very same thing. They put blood over Christ. That's false religion. And there are a lot of people practicing false religion and don't even know it. They think they're Christians, but they put blood, family, over Christ. That's error. Let's go on here in this regard. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now what Paul is doing is he's taking these people back pre-law days. Abraham lived before the giving of what? The law. He lived well before the giving of the law. How was Abraham saved? That's the question. How did Abraham come to faith in Christ? He came to faith through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very clear that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. Righteousness are the wages that we have to have in order to go into the presence of God. To live with him for all eternity. Righteousness is the currency of heaven. That's what the gospel is all about. God has given to us the currency that we need to go into heaven. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Abraham, pre-law, before the law was ever given, believed God. And that was accounted unto him for righteousness. That is the gospel 4,000 years ago and even further back. The gospel was given at that time. Now, it's not about circumcision. It's not about rites and ceremonies. It's about faith in Christ, Judaizers. You love Abraham. Let's see how Abraham was saved. Was Abraham saved by the keeping of the law? The answer is No, because there was no law. So if you link yourself to Abraham, there must be something different. There must be something else, because Abraham lived before the giving of the law. Abraham knew nothing about the Mosaic law. He knew nothing about the rights that were established for Israel. How was he saved then? It wasn't by rites and ceremonies. It was by faith in Jesus Christ. He looked ahead and he saw a city whose builder and maker is God. He saw Jesus Christ crucified before he ever came. He had faith. And that's the kind of faith, folks, that still saves people today. It's faith in Jesus Christ. How do you become a son of Abraham? It's not by blood. It's not by ethnicity. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's continue on here. Faith was reckoned unto him. Reckoned. You know, when we see the word reckoned there, it means it was not in the possession of the individual before. Right? This individual, if something is reckoned to your account, it wasn't in your account before. So it means it was in the account of another. And it was taken from that account and put into your account. What produced the transaction that took place? Righteousness to Abraham's account. It was faith. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. And this is the heart of where Paul is going to go now with these Galatians. You are accepting an error that goes against the heart of Christianity, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Him. Let's go on, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with what? Faithful Abraham. We have a play on words here. We have Abraham who was full of faith, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. If I am going to be the son of Abraham, I have to come to Christ by faith. I must come full of faith in him. That means I believe on Jesus Christ. I believe everything that he has said in his word concerning the good news of salvation in him. If I repent of my sin and believe in him, then I am going to receive that eternal salvation. No works. Repentance and faith are not works. They're not works because God said to do it. Except you repent, you shall what? Likewise perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Very clear in God's word. If God says you can repent and believe, you can do it. It's not works then. Works center in me. Works center right here with Todd Brainerd. But when God says, I want you to repent, I want you to believe, then I can do it. It's outside myself then. It's the power of God at work then. Because behind every command of God is His omnipotence. His power, His greatness is there in order for that work to be accomplished. Righteousness of Christ was imputed to Abraham's account. Let's go back to Genesis 15 for just a moment. I just want to share with you this brief verse of Scripture to emphasize the gospel message proclaimed so early in the Bible. Let's begin at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. This is Abraham, God telling, no, excuse me. Yeah, Abram here. Look now toward heaven. And tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6, notice the response of Abram. This is before his name is changed, before he's in the covenant relationship. Notice, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Not only is Abraham's salvation pre-law, but it's pre-what? Covenant. It's pre-covenant. The Lord shares with him all of the things, the blessings that will come if Abraham believes God. And all the covenant blessings that would come down the road, and his seed would be multiplied as of the sand of the seashore and the stars in the heavens. And here we see in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord. In other words, he took the testimonies of the Lord to be right in all things. That's what it means to believe. God, you're right in all things, and I'm wrong. That's what faith is. I'm wrong, you're right, God. Everything you've said. And Abraham said, Lord, you're right in all things. I believe you. And it was counted to him at that moment. Abram became a believer, and the covenant relationship was consummated. Oh, the glorious picture there of the Lord moving between the lamps there, and the picture that's given of God entering into a covenant relationship with Abraham after his conversion. God doesn't make covenant with people that aren't saved. Every covenant, trace it all the way through the Old Testament scriptures, every covenant that God made was with a regenerated individual. Someone that had come to faith in Him. This is a glorious principle that's laid out here. Now, God accepts men not on the ground of works, but on the ground of faith. A doctrine found both in the Old and New Testaments. Now, only those who are of faith are sons of God. I want to emphasize one word here in verse 7. It's the word know. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. This word know is important. It links us back to chapter 2 and verse 9, where we read, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was known unto me, get that word, knew the grace, perceived, same word, that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. What he's doing here is linking back to this time when it was decided at the Council of Jerusalem that the gospel message that Paul preached of faith in Jesus Christ was indeed the truth, and that the Judaizers' doctrine was wrong. That was the whole calling of the Council of Jerusalem. That's why it was there. Remember, even the Judaizers had planted their people there at the Council of Jerusalem to cause a great disruption so that people would not come to that place. But that was the decision. They perceived, they knew that what Paul was preaching was the truth. Now we see that same word again here. You know that these words are on record, Galatians, concerning Abraham's faith. And now you know what is implied in them. The Judaizers were of those who would compass sea and land to make one proselyte, Matthew 23:15. They had been persuading the Galatians that only by circumcision could they become sons of Abraham. Now Paul shows them that because of his faith, not because he has been circumcised, Abraham was accepted by God through faith before he entered into the covenant relationship with God and received all his privileges and blessings. And this he impresses upon them by this little phrase, know ye, know ye. This is common knowledge among you. You know this to be true. Why are you going against knowledge? And the reason they went against knowledge is because they went after emotions. We talked about last week in the first five verses, this word, O foolish Galatians. What did we say the word foolish meant? Not thinking. Not thinking. They were following emotional arguments that had been made by the Judaizers. They were not reasoning from truth, were they? They were thinking from emotions. Now he emphasizes this. You know this. There is objective truth that's been given to you that proves this beyond a shadow of a doubt that Abraham was saved by faith. You are saved by faith. The Judaizers are in error. You know this to be true. Why are you rejecting the truth? Oh, it's so important. Thirdly, in verses 8 and 9, Gentiles are justified by faith as well. Not only are the Jews saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but Gentiles are saved by faith. That's the only way that God saves sinners. It is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. I want you to look with me, please, at Romans chapter 4 for just a moment. Romans chapter 4. Stay with me now. I know we're kind of treading in deep water today, but this is so important that you be rooted in the doctrine of justification, that you understand how you come to faith in Christ. It's not by works that you do. It is by the work done by Jesus Christ. We're resting in His work. Notice chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made what? Void. And the promise is made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Who is all? Well, the Bible makes clear that there are three groups of people: Jews, Gentiles, and the church. Of us all means all of us. How are we saved? By faith in Jesus Christ. And we are linked to Abraham by faith, not by blood. Boy, this is so clear. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Abraham was an old man when the promise was made. He was beyond the time that most people have children. He saw himself as dead, but he believed the promise anyway. Folks, that's what faith is. If you don't believe yourself to be dead in trespasses and sins, then you'll never trust in a living Savior. Abraham saw himself to be dead. Lord, I don't know how you're going to raise up seed. I don't know how you're going to do it. My wife and I are past those years of childbearing, but Lord, by faith we believe your word. If you say it can be done, it can be done. Lord, let's transfer it to the lost sinner. I don't know how you can make something living out of something dead, but I believe you can because you said you can. Isn't that what salvation is all about? You got to believe God's word when he says you're dead, you're dead. You don't have a spark of divinity. You're not a promise and a possibility. You are dead in trespasses and sin. And you say, Lord, take this dead individual and make him live. And the Lord can do it. He can do it. The Judaizer said, oh, no, he can't. He can't do it. You've got to have a part in this. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the rites. Do you see how important it is to know the truth? So that when someone comes along and they've got extra baggage to put on the cart and say, you got to have this too, you can say, wait a minute, that's not right. Take the baggage off this cart. This is the gospel cart and it's operated by Jesus Christ. There's nothing to be added and nothing to be taken away. Now, Mosaic law cannot justify sinners, verses 10 through 12. And we're going to wrap this up here with these verses. Let's turn back to our passage in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Notice verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All right, folks, let's move from Abraham to Moses. He's taking these Galatian believers. Right, I've shown you Abraham was pre-law, pre-covenant, and he was saved by faith in Jesus Christ. His faith was counted unto him for righteousness. All right, let's move now to Mosaic times. The law has been given. Let me tell you what the law says. Cursed is he that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law. You violate one law, you're guilty, and you're cursed. There's no making remuneration and making atonement to the law at this point, only through the shed blood that looks forward. It's a covering. The atoning blood of those sacrifice animals were not sufficient. All the blood of the animals that had been shed over all those years, those Israelites were not completely forgiven. They were covered until the perfect sacrifice came, the perfect Lamb of God. And so Paul makes quite clear, all right, you offend in one part of the law, you've offended all of it, and you are cursed. And the Judaizers would know what that word meant. That meant no turning back. Under the curse of the law, there was no turning back. Once the death sentence was given, there was no second chance. The teenager that rebelled against the father, and the father took him to the high priest, and the high priest ruled he is to be stoned. There was no defense. There was no, can we go back and vote on this again? He was taken out by the high priest and he was stoned because the high priest had said he's in violation of the law. He's offended. Therefore, he's under the curse. I have been amazed as I have read through the Old Testament scriptures, the Pentateuch, to see what was all under the death penalty. Have you read through that? All of the things that were involved in the death penalty? We think today of death penalty for murder and maybe for treason. And we have a very finite list today of putting someone to death, capital punishment. But in those days, the list was long. The list was long. It was to show the people the wickedness of their lifestyle. It was to show them that they had to look to Messiah, their Redeemer and their Lord. Abraham was not justified by the law because there was no law. Countless Hebrews were justified long before the written law was given by God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all justified before the law was given. Just as the Judaizers and their Galatian victims should have known that justification is by faith and not circumcision, they should also have known it is not by the law. If you offend the law in one point, you're cursed. You're cursed. They should have known. You can't just take one aspect of the law and make it applicable and say, this is what you need for salvation. That's impossible. Cannot do that. That's in violation of the Word of God. What does that tell us about the Judaizers? They didn't know the book. They didn't know the book. If they had studied their Bible, they would have known that their very doctrine was contrary to what they supposedly believed in. It's not possible to take one element of the law, circumcision, and make it part of God's plan of salvation when God said if you violate just one part, you're cursed under the law. It's not possible to do that. How does one become a son of Abraham? Well, we're going to see next time that Jesus Christ bore the curse on the cross. And in going to the cross, he fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle. And now all men, Jews, Gentiles alike, can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, if you don't know right doctrine, you cannot think right. You cannot think clearly. You cannot think biblically. And these Galatian believers prove that they were not thinking biblically when they accepted the doctrine of the Judaizers. They didn't know their Bibles like they should have. And if there is one indictment today against the Church of America, the Church of Fundamentalism, is we don't know our Bibles. We don't know our Bibles like we should. We think, well, if we can memorize all the characters of the Bible, then we're doing pretty good. No, we need to know the principles and the truths and the doctrines of the Word of God. It's wonderful to learn the characters of Scripture. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when we stand before that Bema seat, is not going to ask you, all right, I want you to tell me the 66 books of the Bible. And if you can't do it, then somehow you're not going to get your reward. It's going to be judged according to the principles of God's Word. That's what he's going to hold up this book. And he's not going to ask you the characters of the Old Testament or name the 12 disciples. He's going to ask you, did you live by faith? Did you honor me by living by faith? Did you study my Word? Did you know me through the Word? Some are going to see Jesus and he's going to be like a stranger almost. Going to be like a stranger because we haven't studied the book. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a rebuke this passage is to us all. We might be able to quote facts from Scripture and name lists, but that's not good enough. These Galatian people were saved. They had trusted Christ under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and yet they had been deceived by false teachers, the Judaizers, into believing that salvation had to have something added to it. And it's because they didn't know the book. The Judaizers didn't know the book, and the Galatians didn't know the book like they ought to. There's no excuse when we have your revelation to go against the Word. Now, Father, rebuke us. Help us to be faithful in the study of your Word. Help us to saturate our hearts and minds with the principles and teachings of the Word of God. Help us to know the doctrine thereof, so that we might be able to think aright, that we might be able to discern error when error comes, and to have the foundation of the truth always, so that we can stand for Thee. Lord, if there be those here without Christ this morning, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction. Some are trusting in their good works. They're trusting in some decision maybe they made as a child, or maybe in baptism, or some other form of religion. But they have not trusted it by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in hearts and lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.